time, no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. 'Cause I want more of you, God. Let your fire fall down.
Fire, fall down, fire, fall down on us, we pray.
Fire, fall down.
place we would rather be. There's no place we would rather be. There's no place I'd rather be.
Hearing your love, hearing your love.
No place I would rather be. No place.
There's no place I'd rather be.
There's no place.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Thank you.
Promise still stands, greatest.
Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Come on, somebody. You know, there's just a blanket of God's presence over the atmosphere tonight. Just a blanket of God's love and His compassion for His people. How many of you feel that tonight? Just a blanket of God's love. You know, there's something that happens in my home. It doesn't matter if it's winter, spring, summer, fall. Pastor Joy oftentimes will beckon to me if I'm down the hall or coming from one of the back rooms. She'll say, "Honey, when you come back this way, would you bring me my blanket? Come on." And it doesn't matter what time of the year it is. You know, it can be air conditioning can be on, and or maybe it's in the wintertime and the fireplace logs are going. Y'all getting ready for that? Come on now. But she still enjoys a blanket. Come on. Do you enjoy the blanket of God's presence in this house tonight? Come on. And the joy of it is, listen, the joy of it is that God knows you. If you got some little thing like that about you, God knows about that. He does. He knows you. We just sang it. He knows your name. The hairs on your head are numbered. The Bible says that not a sparrow falls to the ground without His awareness. So you may be here tonight and you may be thinking, well, you know, I'm going to go to revival tonight. I've heard it was good. And or maybe you're here because you've been here every night. Thank God for your faithfulness. But can I just tell you, God knows right where you are tonight. He does. He knows right where you are. He knows your name. Isaiah prophesied and said He's carved your name in the palm of His hand. Come on. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that He's carved your name in the palm of His hand? Hallelujah. So, Father, we rejoice tonight that You do know our name.
Isaiah also said, before you formed us in the womb, you knew us. And yes, you ordained some things in our lives, but God, you know every path we'd take, every step we'd make. And Lord, we're grateful tonight that we can serve you. We can trust you. We can honor you, Lord. And we just ask you, Father, to have your way tonight. Have your way among us. Have your way in us. In Jesus' strong name. Come on, can you just open your mouth and just let a praise go from your lips tonight? The sacrifice of praise. Come on. Come on, just worship him for a moment. Come on, saturate this place with the praises of God's people. Come on. Come on, sing it one more time, would you? Come on, just sing that. No fire can harm you. You know what? Amen? Because he knows right where you are. He knows right where you are. So just worship him just for a moment, and we're going to transition.
No fire can burn me. No battle can turn me. No mountain can stop me. Because you
time. He knows your name. Amen. Hallelujah. So God, we ask you tonight to just minister to your people. Thank you for the word of God that will come forth in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for those, Lord, watching online, as hundreds have done so this week, God. We thank you, Lord, for an audience that's captivated by your word tonight. We thank you for an audience that's captivated by your spirit tonight. Accomplish your plans and your purposes for us this night. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Well, smile at somebody before you're seated, would you? Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So glad to see each and every one of you tonight. I want to say thank you to, how about a worship team? Come on, they've been here with us every night this week. Appreciate you guys leading us into the presence of the Lord. We haven't wasted any time. We want to take advantage of every moment the service is afforded to us tonight, and so we don't want to waste any time. We're going to go ahead and turn it over to our friend and our guest. And yes, he's coming tonight. Come on, give Doug Eccles a hand as he's coming tonight. I learned a long time ago the value of relationship. Listen, relationship, you better keep them healthy because they have tremendous value to them. Jesus was a manager of relationships. Did you know that? He had the multitudes, come on. He had the crowds. He had the disciples, small d, okay? He had the 72. He had the disciples, the 12, big D, all right? He had Peter, James, and John, and then he had what? John the Beloved. And so all on that continuum, the Lord showed us, he's a master of it, how to manage relationships. And we plug into those things, and each one of those relationships, hear me, have valued representation in our lives. Several years ago, I met a pastor who's been here tonight, I think it's his second or maybe third service this week, Pastor Hans Hess from Fountain of Life, who introduced me to Doug Eccles. Isn't it valuable when someone says, hey, let me connect you with somebody? I remember being in the service that night, and he said, have you got just a few minutes? I want to introduce you to someone. And out of that introduction, Pastor Hans, we've become a great friend of Doug Eccles, Lori, and we just thank God for what they're doing for the kingdom. Come on, thank God for what they're doing for the kingdom, and we're glad to have them here tonight. God bless you, Doug.
Appreciate you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. It is a great privilege to be here. Every night this week, I've enjoyed the presence of the Lord. I even enjoyed Sunday morning. But I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord, and thank you for your faithfulness, and I appreciate a house where they love to have revival, all right? And that's good, because, you know, not everybody cares anymore, but there are people that, got touched maybe Monday night that didn't get touched on Sunday. And, you know, we go back in our history of our family, we do not have one person in our family that got saved on a Sunday morning. We don't have one person that got filled with the Holy Ghost on a Sunday morning. They were all some other night. So sometimes some people need other nights. Amen. So evidently you do. I'm glad you're here tonight. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate you so very much. You know, the Bible says that we're to lay up treasures in heaven. How many understand heaven doesn't really need our money? I read about heaven. It sounds like streets of gold. That's pretty wealthy. Gold's pretty high right now. And I read about pearly gates, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. So heaven is a very wealthy place. So when we give an offering, really it's not for heaven, but it's about people. Do you realize the treasures in heaven are people? I don't think you catch that, because Jesus was given, God gave his only son because he cared about people. And you know, when we talk about water wells, it's not really about anything but people. And when we talk about feeding children, it's about people. It's not about the meal itself. And when we talk about crusades, it's about people. And you know, we're seeing in some of our crusades, 4 people come to Jesus for every dollar we spend. How many think that's better than the Dollar Tree? That's a good thing. And so, you know what? We're just going to believe God for something great. I got a video tonight. It was just sent to me today, and I only watched it on my phone, so I hope it looks good on a regular screen. But this is one unique water well. This is the well that goes out, and it has a tank on it, and we build a house around it. But you know what? It's not really about the well. Look at the people that are getting the water. That's what I want you to see. Watch this for a moment.
By the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of
sure what happened there, but it's okay. We got the gist of it, didn't we? And you know what? Tonight, I want to just challenge you. This is our last night tonight, but I believe we can make this the best night, all right? Everybody get involved tonight, but let's lay up treasure in heaven. Let's get some people saved. Let's open their heart to receive the gospel. Let's do something. If you want to help us with a water well, again, only $1,500. But you know what? Everybody can't do 15, but somebody could even do more. But the truth is, everybody can do something tonight. Do something for the kingdom of God. Pastor, will you come?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Doug. It's amazing. We've been blessed last night to dig two wells right here in the sanctuary. Come on. Amen. Two wells last night. And thank God for an online audience. If you're watching online tonight, down in the comment section, you'll see links where you can give and be blessed, you know, because, hey, man, water is, how many of y'all know water's precious? Come on. Especially in the summertime, amen, in the summertime when there's nothing like water, you know. How many of y'all love Mountain Dew? Come on, let me see your hand. How about Coke Zero? That's my camp right there. Anybody Coke Zero besides me? When you look in the little cafe over there, that's why there's four rows of Coke Zero and one row of the rest of them. Come on, if you wondered why, because the pastor loves Coke Zero. Come on. Just tell your neighbor he's got to have his way. Come on. But let me tell you something. In that refrigerator is something more precious than a Mountain Dew or a Coke Zero. You know what it is? It's a bottle of water. And so thank you. Thank you, online audience, for helping us. And I'm going to ask you just to stand and come and release your giving into the buckets. I just love it because, you know, it's giving not out of pressure. It's not out of pressure. It's out of desire. And thank you for doing that. Just come on and come on forward and drop your offering for water wells in the bucket tonight. I'm going to pray as you come. Father, in Jesus' name, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the joy of cool water, clean water, fresh water. And I thank you, God, that we don't have to worry. We don't have to walk to a tank for a mile or two or even three or more. But all we have to do is just turn on the spout, and the water comes out. Lord, we thank you for it. And we don't take it for granted, Lord. But tonight, we just want to say thank you for the opportunity to provide that for other people who don't have it. And we give you praise and honor for it. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Come on, rejoice for what God's doing, all right?
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for your sowing into the kingdom of God. And how many understand that you can throw it out there and wave it goodbye if you want, but I kind of like it like this. Give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I kind of like that a little better, amen? But I watch sometimes how people, they just kind of throw it out there, like I'll never see that again. Well, you probably won't. But if you give with expectation that he's going to bless you back, that you might be more of a blessing, I believe it'll happen. Praise God. Amen. Well, out in the foyer, I'll mention we do have a few things out there. But I'm going to say something. One of the easiest ways to increase the anointing in your life is surround yourself with anointed things. Now, you might say, what does that mean? Well, if you surround yourself with Jerry Springer all day, you're probably not going to be very anointed. If all you watch is the news, you're not going to have much anointing because they're annoying. All right? Nobody agrees with that? Man, I'm going to tell you something. It's just bad all the time. They just make everything bad. But I'm going to tell you something. If you'll put the Word of God in your heart, we got books out there. We've got sermons out there. And also the T-shirt. You know, a lot of people will read your shirt and say, man, I like that whatever, because they have an attitude just like I do. I love to say whatever. You know, but the back, you show them that, and it changes the atmosphere. The Word of God always changes the atmosphere. So those are available out there, and we do take cash, credit, debit, whatever you want to do on that, and you can pick those up. Thank you, Lori. Praise God. And again, Pastor, appreciate you so very much. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I don't take it for granted. And it is good to see my friend Hans Hess here, and I appreciate him. And we're praying for them and their church, you know, and believing for them. You know, if we pray for them, it'll bless us. Amen? Amen. We thank God. Let's stand together one time. And let's pray over the reading of the word. Let's pray over this service a little bit. But I want you to do something. You know, we sometimes come to service and we've had a busy day, and many of you have. And you've had lots of stuff going on in your mind. But you know what? Right now, I want you to ask the Lord to do something for you. I want you to ask the Lord, what do you want Him to do? What kind of move of God do you want to have? What kind of touch do you need? What kind of miracle do you need? I want everybody to ask. He said, you have not because you ask not. And I think a lot of times we just come to church like, you know, and we could miss our opportunity because we are not expecting God to move on our behalf. So let's pray with expectation right now. Everybody, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare again, this is the place of freedom. We bring every thought into captivity. Lord, any distraction going on in the minds of individuals, we believe, Lord, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We loose the power of God in this place. And together we stir up the gift of God, Lord, that something great is going to happen. We're asking for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, the best gifts for tonight, Lord, the ones that will bless us the most. And we believe tonight, Lord, for revival. If there be one here tonight that is backslidden, one that does not know you, one that is far from you, one that has sin in their life, make it hot in here for them tonight, I pray, that they would be drawn to Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are depending on you. If we've ever needed your help, it is tonight we need your help. We need you in our life, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We glorify you, we magnify you, we lift you up in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you tell somebody near you, you have greatness in you to do great things. Come on, tell somebody, you have greatness in you to do great things. Praise God. Do you believe that? And then you can be seated, all right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have greatness in you to do great things. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If the Holy Ghost is in you, if you're saved, you have been born of the Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you've been baptized in the Spirit, then you have greatness in you to do great things. Amen? He didn't save you for you to do nothing. He didn't fill you for you to do nothing, but he gave you power to do great things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want to speak tonight on a most wonderful event that I believe, as a matter of fact, it is the next event on the prophetic calendar. How many know that God's calendar is a little bit different than ours? We have a calendar, and you know, we got over into March, our calendars got messed up a little bit, but God's calendar is like this. It says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. And he uses that to talk about the coming of the Lord, that don't get to the point where you say, well, I've heard that before, because I'm going to tell you, God's calendar is not our calendar. But I believe we are living in the last days, and I want to say this. I believe the rapture of the church, or the coming of the Lord, is the next prophetic event on the calendar. And here's how it's going to go down. Matthew 24. Verse 40 and 42, 40 and 42, it said, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Now, here's how it's going. You will be with somebody, and maybe they will be caught up without you, or you'll be caught up without them. You might be at work, and there'll be people that will be taken away. But the Bible says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. He's saying, don't be caught unaware. And if we do not watch, we are inviting disaster into our life. And I will tell you this, I read that passage on the screen right there, but there will be some that are going to be surprised when Jesus comes. Some will be surprised. But Titus 2:13, let's look at that. It says, looking for that blessed hope. Everybody say, blessed hope. and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, how many understand that many people are looking at the days we are living in with fear and uncertainty? There's a lot of fear in our country, and even around the world, we have a lot of fear and uncertainty, but you and I, we are not without hope, and we can be certain tonight that Jesus is coming soon, and He's coming for the ready, and for those of us that are ready, we call it our blessed hope. We know that Jesus is coming very soon, but I want you to look over to John 14, 1 through 6. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Jesus says this. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself." He said, "I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Now, how many believe Jesus said what he meant and meant what he said? He said that I will come again. So that to me brings me some peace. But he begins this passage with, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, I believe one of the signs of the last days is men's hearts will fail them for fear. And I don't know, and I'm not trying to put this on everybody, but I think during this corona time, not just by corona, but we've had an unusual amount of deaths. I don't know if it's just I'm on Facebook more and I'm seeing a lot of stuff, but it seems very unusual to me what is going on. But Jesus said, "Hey, when you get in these last days, let not your heart be troubled." And listen, one day you and I are going to transfer from this earth. We are going to transfer to heaven. And the purpose of Jesus' return is so that we can be with Him forever. And I thought about that a little bit. How many know it'll be a little awkward for some people to go to heaven because some people will be with someone they barely know? Ooh. I remember one time when Laura and I were young, we were traveling. We were living up in the Detroit area, and we were traveling down into Ohio, and we were driving down, and on the way there, we're just talking, listening to music, and enjoying ourselves. We get about 15 miles from the pastor's house. I didn't tell her where we were staying. I said, "Oh, by the way, we're staying at the pastor's house." And she kind of looked at me like, you know, because that can be great or it could be really bad. All right? Not everybody in this church cleans their house. Okay. Don't act like yours is perfect, all right? But I said to my wife, I said, "Lori, this house is going to be filthy." She said, "How do you know it's going to be filthy? You've never been there. You just met the man. The man came and heard me preach at my dad's church and invited me to come preach at his in Ohio." And she said, "You've never been to their house. How do you know it's going to be filthy?" I said, "Well, I met the pastor's wife." And she said, "Well, what does that mean?" I said, "Well, they're very old, okay, but that's not a problem." I said, "But they're very old, but she has the longest chin hairs I've ever seen on any woman." I'm going to get myself in trouble, I feel it, but she said, "Having chin hairs doesn't mean you're going to have a filthy house." I said, "Yes, it does. If you can't pluck those babies out of your chin, you are not cleaning the house." Everybody ought to just rub their chin right now, all right? So we get to that house, and it is absolutely filthy. They had to move stuff off the couch so we could sit down on it. It was like a version of the Hoarders, okay? You know what I mean? I remember we slept in this bed, and we got up in the morning, and the light was shining through the window, and there was this long black hair all over the bed, and we don't have black hair. And then there was this cat with laying out real big, stretched out with a bald patch on its back, and it was coughing up all over the house, you know. So it's uncomfortable sometimes to be with people you don't know. That's what I'm trying to say. So that's why you better get to know Jesus now, all right? Are you with me? I don't know why I told that story, but I thought it was pretty funny anyway. We're going to go to be with Jesus so we can be spared from the wrath that is to come. You realize that a lot of people are saying, man, we are in the tribulation. We are not in the tribulation. Anything going on in this world right now, it's the early pains. When my wife was pregnant and began having those contractions, at first they were strong, but as she got closer and closer to the birth of the babies, I'm going to tell you, they got stronger and stronger. What you're going to see in these last days is some of this that's going around the world, it's just the early pains. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't like what you're going through right now, you will not like the tribulation. You will not like it at all. But this rapture that I'm talking about, it's going to be sudden, and you and I, we need to remain alert and ready for that coming. The rapture is the time when Christ will take his followers from the earth to meet him in the air and to be with him in heaven. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when talking about Jesus soon coming, it comes down to the bottom, and it says, wherefore, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, those words right there, when we have the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica, that church was going through a lot of trouble. And he told them that Jesus is coming back, and these people were having difficult times, but he said, hey, I want you to comfort yourself with these words that Jesus is coming soon. And those words ought to bring comfort to you and I as well, because the tribulation will be more awful than anything you have ever experienced on this earth. I have read that prophecy scholars say in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, at least 75% of the world's population could die, and most of those will die by natural disasters, tsunamis and earthquakes and hurricanes, and all these things will begin to increase, and things are going to happen. So I'm going to tell you, that happens in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. That's the easy part of the tribulation. The second half is even worse. So you do not want to stick around and be here during the tribulation. So the rapture should bring you and I comfort that are ready for his return. Now, I want to speak tonight just for a few minutes on who will not go in the rapture. Who will not go in the rapture? We have people that they think everybody's going to go when the trumpet sounds and the shout goes up. But I believe the Bible would say there are some that will not go in the rapture. Number one, the rapture is not for the lukewarm. The rapture is not for the lukewarm. Now, one definition of lukewarm is showing little enthusiasm or apathetic, lazy, half-hearted, indifferent. Now, you would think that with all that's going on in the world, that it's kind of like 9/11. After 9/11 happened, we saw a little surge in the church, and then quickly it changed. Now we've had Corona drag on months and months and months, and I'm going to tell you something, that there are a lot of people people missing out on coming to the house of God. And I'm not putting you in condemnation, but I'm going to tell you something. If you have become lukewarm, there's a problem. If you become apathetic, there's a problem. If you are in one of the sectors of life that it's a little dangerous for you, I understand that. But the rest of us that go to Walmart, and the rest of us that go to Lowe's, and the rest of us that go to restaurants, we ought to still be going to the house of God. Are you understanding that? In the book of Revelation, there's a church there, and actually there's seven churches. You have Revelation 1, 2, 3, and the words there are very prophetic. And now, why are they prophetic, Revelation 1, 2, and 3? It's because I'm going to tell you tonight when Jesus is going to come back. I'm going to tell you right exactly when Jesus is going to come back. He will come back right after Revelation 3, right before Revelation 4. Some of you are getting nervous that I was going to give you a date. But the truth is, if he comes right at Revelation 4, then the books 3, 2, and 1 of Revelation are very prophetic to us right now. He is speaking to us. Even though he was speaking to actual churches in actual locations, now it is very prophetic to us. And right in the middle of that, we find a church that was lukewarm, the church of Laodicea, and he said that you make me sick. Lukewarmness makes Jesus sick. So I believe to keep from lukewarmness, we must obey the orders of Jesus. What are the orders of Jesus? He says in Revelation 1, 2, and 3, let us hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. What is the Spirit saying to us tonight? What is the Spirit saying to you tonight? And when we hear God speaking to us, we need to obey. I don't care how small it is. I got on Facebook this morning, and I was looking, and there's a young lady that her dad is a pastor, and he's a friend of ours, and this young lady has been to Africa as a missionary, and she had come back, and now she's not going as an associate missionary. She's going as a full-blown missionary. She's got all of her money raised but $84, all right? She said, as soon as I get $84 monthly support, I'm able to go to Africa as planned. And I read that and blew it off, and I'm reading a book and reading my Bible and reading the book, reading my Bible, but I keep hearing the Spirit say, she's only $84 away. She's only $84 away. She's only $84 away. How many know I can't go to any restaurant with five people and not spend $84? Well, there, you know, whatever. A real restaurant. You know what I'm saying. And so just to have peace, I just called her up. I said, hey, how do I get that 80? I'm going to give you the 85 so you can get out of here. And so I could go back to reading and get something out of what I was reading. I said, sign us up. So she sent me to the Assemblies of God missions website. And then I had to text her dad, give me your number so your church can get credit. And I, you know, went through all that. But you know what? The reason is we need to hear what the Spirit is saying and be obedient. We are living in the days when we need to be obedient to what the Lord says. Now, there are some people that, you know, they think, well, I'm going to go in the rapture. But if you can't come to church but when it's convenient, how are you going to enjoy heaven? Heaven's going to be every day. Heaven is forever. Listen, if the sinfulness and the filthiness of this world do not disgust you anymore, then you are already lukewarm. The rapture that I'm talking about, it's for faithful followers, not just casual believers. And while you listen to me tonight, examine yourself. And if there needs to be any change, and he speaks to you by his Spirit at the close of the message, whatever needs change, repent and change it. The word repent. Repent in the Bible refers to a complete turn in the way one thinks, lives, or acts. True repentance brings change. So he might be speaking to somebody tonight to bring change. Listen, who will not go in the rapture? Number two, the rapture is not for the unclean. The rapture is not for the unclean. Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Listen to what he's coming for. He's coming for a glorious church. I like that. He's not coming for a beat down church. He's not coming for a barely getting by church. He's not coming for a church that, you know, I'm just wanting to escape this place. I'm going to tell you, he does use the word escape, and we're going to talk about that. But I'm going to tell you something. I have chosen to occupy till he comes. I believe he could come at any moment, but I'm going to work like he's not going to come forever. Are you understanding me? I'm making plans for 10 years from now. I'm making plans for 20 years from now. I'm making plans, but I'm making plans to impact the kingdom of God. But if he comes, I want to be ready. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He's coming for the clean. Hebrews 12:14. I want everybody to look at the screen. It says, follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men that I agree with. Is that what it says? Follow peace with those who vote like you. Follow peace with those that treat you good. It says, follow peace with all men. If you don't get anything else out of this sermon, that might be one to take home tonight. You know, some people just, they're ready to be mad at everybody. This mask has made some people angry. They just want to get mad all the time. They think they can talk to you any way they want because they got a mask on. I'm going to tell you something. It says, follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men and holiness. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Are you living holy? To make the rapture, you're going to have to overcome the flesh. You're going to have to overcome sin. And you're going to have to overcome the devil. To make it to heaven, you're going to have to be an overcomer. You're going to have to overcome sin, the flesh, and the devil. That's how we live with peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you understand that holiness is an old word, but it's still, without it, you're not going to see the Lord. Unclean, you will not see the Lord. That's why I'm saying tonight, if you got sin in your life, you need to get out. Get it out. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Listen, my mother, she's kind of loves cleanliness, okay? If you went to my mom's house, she doesn't have chin hairs and she has a clean house. But really, I look just like my mother, all right? Except she's shorter and dyes her hair blonde. What? Prettier? I never wanted to be pretty anyway. My mom, when I was a kid, man, she was tough. You had to have your room clean one morning. I got my ball under my arm. I'm going to go out in the driveway and shoot baskets. And I'm walking out the door, and she said, did you clean your room? I said, yes, ma'am. She walks in. She's inspecting it. Then she goes over and opens the closet because she probably thought I just threw everything in there. And it was clean. So I'm like, yeah. I'm going out. She said, did you clean the baseboards? I'm like, really? Okay. I said, no, ma'am. She said, you know, I saw some cobwebs on your baseboards. So she went and got me this rag, got it wet, put something on it to clean the baseboards. I had to get down and clean them. I got to thinking about that. I'm cleaning those cobwebs. There's a few of them, you know, especially behind my bed. I had a little room behind my bed, and I'm cleaning it. And she was worried about the cobwebs. But I got to thinking, there's something making those webs. And I sleep in that room. And see, I think there's a lot of people that, you know, they don't care about their sin as long as it don't cause them any problem. But there's a payday coming. Every one of us need to get rid of anything that causes a spot or wrinkle, that we might be the glorious church. Let's go on. Number three, who will not go in the rapture? The rapture's not for the unprepared. The rapture's not for the unprepared. In Matthew 25, there's a story of 10 bridesmaids. Five of them were foolish, five were wise. Five foolish, they took lamps without oil. The five wise took lamps with oil, all right? They had olive oil in their lamp, and that's what they burned to make light. And all 10 had lights, or lamps, and all 10 were called virgins. So they had something in common. But the Bible says at midnight there was a notification made that the bridegroom was coming and the wise and the unwise should be ready to meet him, all right? Basically, every one of them knew he was coming, but not all were prepared and ready. By the time the unwise went to the wise and said, hey, let us borrow some of your oil. They said, hey, not so. There won't be enough for both of us. Go and buy. So they went to try to buy some oil, and while they were out buying the oil, they missed their opportunity. Are you understanding me? They missed the bridegroom. Matthew 25, 11 and 12. It says, afterward came also the other virgins or the bridesmaids, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now those words there, four words, I know you not, are very significant. Now, some of you listening might say, notice this. He didn't say, I never knew you. He said, I know you not. Now, that's something to think about. He could have said to the five unwise, I never knew you. But he said, I know you not. That means something completely different. And I believe that some of us that are here tonight and those listening by Facebook Live, some of you were ready at one time for the coming of the Lord, but now you are not. And maybe he's saying something here. He said, I know you not. See, Revelation chapter 2, to another church, he said, repent and do your first works. Sometimes we need to make some changes on our way as we serve the Lord. I believe that some listening tonight will miss their opportunity to participate in the rapture because you got to be ready in advance. Once the trumpet sounds and that shout goes up, it's too late to get ready then. 1 Corinthians 15, 52, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now listen to this. Over 10.5 years ago, I was in Haiti, only for the second time I've ever been there. I'm in Haiti, and I'm going there with a pastor. He was the secretary treasurer of the Assemblies of God for North Texas, all right? And we're down there, and he knows some people there, but that was the first time I went to Haiti. Then I came back just a couple of months later. When I came back the couple of months later, I went with a guy that's the secretary treasurer of Indiana Assemblies of God, all right? And we go down there, and we're going to preach a crusade in the north, and we fly into Port-au-Prince, and when we get there, you have to go from the big airport to the small airport because you got to take a flight that would take about 20 to 25 minutes, or you can drive for 8 hours 20 minutes, 25 minutes, or 8 hours, you know. So we take the flight. And I go up to the counter to get my ticket, and they say, Mr. Eccles, your flight has been canceled. There's flooding in the north part of Haiti, and the water is up to your knee on the runway, and it's not safe. So your flight has been canceled. So as we were I said, well, what should we do? They said, well, come back tomorrow. Maybe we'll have a flight. So as we're leaving, there's another guy that looked like me, all right? How many know not everybody in Haiti looks like me? This isn't, you know, hard to figure out, all right? But you could tell this guy was from the United States. He said, look, I don't know what to do. He said, I've never been to Haiti, and I was on that flight with, what are you guys going to do? I said, well, I've only been to Haiti one time, but I know a place we can all go and stay. Just come with us. So a guy that worked for Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines as an underwater scuba diving welder got in the taxi with us. And I told the taxi driver, take me to Wall's Guest House. Wall's Guest House is a missionary guest house. I'd stayed there one night before, and so we're on our way there. And on the way there, the Lord speaks to me. The Lord speaks to me in a small voice. He says, don't stay there. How many know what the small voice of the Lord is? He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know that word led does not mean bam. How many know that's not how God speaks to you? If he did, we'd all come to church beat up every week. But that word led means gently led. I heard the voice, don't stay there. So I told the taxi driver, I'm not going to stay there. He said, well, where do you want to go? I said, well, take me to Visa Lodge. It's the only other place I even knew. I ate a meal there one time and didn't get sick. That's a good place to go in Haiti. So he's taking us to Visa Lodge, and we get there, and I asked the lady behind the counter, I said, could we have three rooms? She said, we only have one room with three beds. I said, well, I'm looking at the guy I don't know very well. I'm judging him. Don't act like you don't judge people here. You let your kids play with everybody in the neighborhood? No, you're judging. Do you eat at every restaurant in this town? No, you're judging. Do you realize the Bible has a whole book called Judges? It's okay to judge. It says if you're spiritual, you should judge. But I'm looking at him because I'm thinking, we got a guy I don't even know going to sleep in the room with us. You know, at least she didn't say, I got one room with one bed. Because I'd have been doing something else. All right, because I got delivered from that at birth. Somebody will catch that one later, I see. All right, so I noticed when I looked at him, he was looking at me. Don't act like the world judges too. But we all judge, but some people just judge certain kinds of people. We'll leave that alone. So we took the room. I called my friends up in the north. They said, yeah, the field is covered in water. You couldn't have a crusade tonight. They called the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God for me, Calixte Floridor of Haiti. And he said, oh, I'll get you. You're going to preach in the largest church in Port-au-Prince tonight. I said, great. He said, I'll be there to pick you up. We went outside. It was a beautiful day. It was January here in the U.S., and we were having a real cold spell everywhere in the U.S. So it was great weather there. I'm sitting outside reading a T.L. Osborne book. My friend's reading his Bible. And then our new friend, he's afraid to stay by himself. We talked him into going to church with us, and I'm thinking he's getting saved tonight. At 4:35 in the afternoon, the ground began to shake violently. Violently. The cement there where we were sitting, it moved like a snake. Immediately, I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. My friend began to pray in tongues. Our new friend, he was praying in tongues of some sorts, but I didn't need an interpreter. Only 35 seconds. 35 seconds. But in that 35 seconds, somewhere around 300,000 people went into eternity. It sounded like a big crack, like a lightning had hit a tree, and then it just started going crazy. I had $8,000 in my pants pocket to dig water wells. But I said, you know what? After we walked out on the street, there'd be buildings like this, the whole roof collapsed in one, and you could hear people screaming. Then there'd be two buildings up and one down. But there was some grocery stores open. And I said, you know what? I'm going to buy every bit of groceries I can, and let's help people with that $8,000 I had in my pocket. But you know what? No one would sell me even a bottle of water for $8,000. Now think about that. You read in the book of Revelation that you will not be able to buy or sell without having the mark of the beast. We got a little bit of that during Corona. You couldn't get any toilet paper. You still can't get Lysol. I don't know who owns Lysol, but they're idiots because they should be like pumping it out. All right? But you can see how easily during the tribulation that people will be duped into taking the mark on their forehead or their hand just so they can get some stuff. I had $8,000 and I couldn't get a bottle of water. Now, we're walking around, we're trying to help people, but we don't have a shovel, we don't have a crowbar, I don't have a front loader, I don't have a bulldozer. Because a building like this came down in one piece. I felt helpless. That night, I sat on the parking lot of the hotel. And the morning came, but people kept coming up to me. Said, sir, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know, but I'm praying about it right now. I said, I'll know in the morning. My phone worked for a while. I sent out text to Lori. She didn't even know. I said, I'm okay, but it's crazy. I don't know what to do. That's what I said. And she didn't even know. Somebody from Texas had to call her and tell her they'd had a bad earthquake in Haiti before she found out. But I'd already sent her a text that I was okay. Nobody else's phone worked. Mine was working. I don't understand. But listen. The next morning, I now have 14 people that say, we don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do whatever you do. I don't even know them. But see, I had peace because of the Holy Ghost. We went to the airport to leave. And as we're leaving, the hotel compound lining the streets were bodies, dead bodies. Some were covered, some were smashed, some were bloody. It's a sight that haunts me. I sometimes wake up and I see those bodies. But I've never asked the Lord to take it away from me. Because I'm a debtor to those people. I'm alive, they're dead. Why did I live? That's why I keep going back to Haiti. The place that I was going to stay, Walls Guest House, collapsed. Five people died, two Americans, two Canadians, and a Haitian. Where we were at, nobody died. It's important to be led by the Spirit in these last days. Now, why did I tell you that? The only thing that keeps me from really having a hard time with 300,000 people dying. That day, what I saw in the streets, people were rioting, they were shooting guns, they were looting stuff. It was crazy. But I think about this. That earthquake lasted 35 seconds. I pray in 35 seconds, many of those that died, I pray they called on the name of the Lord. That's the only consolation I have. That's the only way I can deal with it. But when Jesus comes back, you're not going to have 35 seconds. He comes in the twinkling of an eye. He comes in the twinkling of an eye. One less than a second, you're here, you're not here. Listen, when I met a man that night that was from the Dominican Republic, he came up to me and he said, you're a preacher, aren't you? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to take care of you. I don't even know this guy. I said, well, thank you. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know if that was good or bad. I'm going to take care of you. Depends on how you where you put the emphasis. We got to the airport and they wouldn't let us fly out because nobody was there to check your passport. I didn't know anybody. I don't speak a lick of French. I don't speak any Creole. I don't know what to do. Somebody said, if you're a real missionary, you just stuck around there. Yeah, really? I didn't know anybody. Only two people I knew, and they were in the north at that time. Now I know a whole bunch of, a slew of people. We got there, and we didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, that guy from Dominican Republic pulls up in a Chevy Colorado, just kind of slides up to the curb. He said, hey, preacher, get in the car. He said, I already left. I went up north. The roads are blocked. Boulders have come off the mountain. We can't get through. But if we go the south, maybe we can get to Dominican Republic. I said, I got 14 people. He said, get them all in the truck. Seven women got up front, seven men in the back with all the luggage. I rode on that tailgate just 7 hours just to the border. You know, my rear end looked like this and this. Lord help us. I don't know why I said that. But it hurt. That's all I can tell you. But listen, as we were getting ready to leave that airport, a young man, a young Haitian-looking man anyway, I don't know what he was, jumped in the back of the truck. He had a sawed-off shotgun and got in the back of the truck with us. Now, you might not understand that. And I'm like, I'm looking at him like, who is? Nobody knew who he was. He just rode in the back of the truck with that sawed-off shotgun like a security guard would have in Haiti. When we were driving through town, people are shooting guns. They're breaking any building down that's there to steal what's ever there. It was chaos. What should have taken us 20 minutes took us over 2 hours to get out of town. Who was that in the truck? All I know is, you remember when Jesus went to places they wanted to kill him? They could drive through. I mean, he could come in and they didn't even know, see him. He's right there and they didn't see him. Look, you realize that skin like this sticks out in Haiti? Nobody even saw us. All I can say is, angels in Haiti carry little sawed-off shotguns. I mean, no, he'll give angels to keep charge over you. Now, I just told that. I thought somebody needed to hear it. But listen, the coming Lord will be so fast that there's no time to get things right unless it's done before. And at the close of this message, in just a few minutes, some of you are listening that need to consider your readiness, your preparedness. Today you can get yourself prepared and ready. Luke 21:36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. He said, watch and pray to escape, not watch to stay, but watch and pray indicates the lukewarm will not be ready for the coming Lord because the lukewarm won't be praying. But listen today, some people get worried about that word escape, but listen, I am not a doomsday prepper. I am an overcomer. I'm not hiding. I'm not scared. I'm not hoarding. I'm not a survivor. I'm not whipped. I'm not beaten down. I'm not living in fear, but I am an overcomer. Are you hearing me? Somebody said, you're one of those escaped Christians, aren't you? Well, I'm not going through the tribulation, I can tell you that. And I'm not sticking around to be ruled by the Antichrist. I'm not sticking around to get a mark on my hand or my forehead so that I can buy and sell toilet paper. Are you hearing me? I am not taking the mark of the beast. I was watching so-called Christian TV. And the guy on there was selling fear to everybody. He's selling 7 years of food for $777. All right? And the Bee Gees were singing behind, staying alive, staying alive. Hey, no matter what I sing, it sounds like a hymn, okay? It's okay. One morning, I grew up in church. All I listened to was Jimmy Swaggart, okay? That was it. Jimmy Swaggart, Oral Roberts, and Billy Graham, and Vestal Goodman, okay? That's all I grew up on. So I don't know any rock songs, but this song was going through my head. And my wife, she grew up Catholic, so she knows all the rock songs. And so I'm singing. I said, "Do you know this song?" And I'm singing it. And she goes, "Give me a little bit more." And she finally just stops me. She said, "Anything you sing sounds like a hymn. You could be singing Highway to Hell, and it sounds like a hymn. You know, I'm on the highway to hell." Third verse, you know. So I got the church voice for sure. Let me close with this. The rapture is not for the unsaved. I want to read 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17 and 18. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ." Everybody say in Christ. "The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." In Christ. He said, the dead in Christ shall rise first, in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? Let me just say something to you. You're not saved unless you are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 gives us an idea of what in Christ means. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I'm asking you tonight to examine yourself. Are you in Christ? See, if you're in Christ, the Scripture would indicate your life is changed, that you're different than before coming to Christ. Somehow, when you come to Christ, those old things you used to do, you're not involved with those anymore. And if you're still committing the same sin and continue to walk in darkness, then you need to think again. Are you with me tonight? Are you really trusting Him? I'm just going to quit. But the truth is, I'm asking you tonight if you're in Christ. Are you in Christ? Have you come to Him and He's number one in your life and you're fully trusting Him and old things have passed away? I get nervous around people that say they're a Christian and they just do whatever they used to do. You know, the newest thing with college kids is they're a Christian, but they don't do Christian things. I've been getting that a lot. We hear that on Christian University. They're a Christian, but they don't really do Christian things. They need to read their Bible, because I don't really know where that comes from. Because when I came to Christ, before, I didn't do Christian things. But when I got up from the altar, I began to do Christian things. Are you understanding me? Check yourself. Examine yourself tonight. Everybody stand here. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you don't like the message tonight, but I do. Because I think we need to be ready for His coming. I believe Pastor and I, we're watchmen. If we don't warn people about something that's coming, then everyone's blood is on our hands. But if we warn you and you do whatever you want to do, then that's not our problem. But everyone's got an opportunity tonight to check themselves. Examine, are you in Christ? Look, He's not coming for the unclean. He's not coming for the unsaved. He's not coming for the lukewarm. Do you fit any of those categories? He's not coming for a church that's got sin. He's not coming for a people with sin. But He's coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes if you will tonight. I'm giving you a chance tonight to be prepared in advance. You're not going to have a chance to say, "Well, maybe I'll get that 35 seconds. I'll get it right, you know, then." But I'm going to tell you, when He comes, it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. We read about it. Two will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. That tells me not everybody's going to go. When we read about those bridesmaids, five were ready, five were not. I'm going to tell you, I believe a lot of people can go through the motions and look right and act right, and they got everybody fooled, but in their heart, God sees the secret things. That's what the Bible says. I want you to examine yourself right now all over this building. I want you to check yourself. Are you ready? If that trumpet were to sound and the shout were to go up, would you be left behind or would you go to meet Jesus in the air? Would you be left behind or would you go to meet Jesus in the air? In this building, I'm going to ask a little backwards, so I want you to pay attention. I think I've done this way before, but I think sometimes people that have been in church a lot begin to tune out right at the altar. They're like going, he's about done, he's about done. But I want you to hear me, because I'm asking you to be sure tonight. I'm asking tonight, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if that trumpet were to sound and the shout were to go up and Jesus were to come in the clouds, would you be caught up to meet him or would you be left behind? If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm 100% sure if that trumpet were to sound and the shout were to go up, I'd go to meet Jesus in the air. I'm 100% sure of that, preacher. If that's you, would you lift up your hand in the air right now? Come on, lift up your hand if you know. If you don't know, don't raise your hand. Leave it up just for a minute. All right. Thank you. Now, what I saw, God already knows. What I saw is there were a lot of people that raised their hand, but there were still a lot that did not. And I think I made it clear enough that you understand what I'm talking about. And the consequences of not being ready for the coming Lord. It's not a great time, the tribulation. Somebody said, well, you're putting fear. Well, the Bible says in Jude, others save with fear, pulling them out just right before they get to the flames of fire. Listen, I don't know what it's going to take, but somebody needs to make a turnaround tonight. There were enough people tonight that if you're honest, you won't be the only one here. There'll be some leaders here. There'll be some people that, there's going to be people that make the rapture that you probably don't expect, and there's going to be people that miss it that you probably won't expect it either. See, sometimes we try to fool everybody, but I'm going to tell you, God sees the heart. You may be like my mom. You can get rid of the cobwebs where nobody knows what's going on, but there's still the spider that'll get you. Sin will get you. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All over this building, I'm going to ask you to get guts and courage. Come on. I don't think we have time to play around anymore in church. You know, we're begging people all the time, please come, please come. But I'm saying right now, if you're not 100% sure you're ready for the coming Lord, get some guts and just come stand here and say, I need a fresh start, a new beginning. Would you do that right now? Come on. Come on. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to shake my hand. But I'm asking you to come right now. Come on. If you'll come, somebody else will follow you. I believe it. Come on. You say, I'm not really where I should be with God. Come on. I'm not really there. I'm not sure about the coming of the Lord. I'm not sure of it. See, I don't believe we have to live our life in fear that we're not going to make it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not where you should be, then you need to get right tonight. Come on, are there others here tonight? Are there others here? Are there others here? There's some younger people that need to get in this altar right now. Listen to what the rapture is going to be like. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. That brings comfort to some of us. We've had loved ones pass. We're going to meet them in the air with Jesus. Think about this. It doesn't matter if you like this or not, but all the children that are under the age of accountability, what is that age? I don't know. Maybe 12, maybe younger. But it's when you know that sin is sin and you know what Jesus did on the cross, if you can comprehend that, what God did when he sent Jesus, then you are above the age of accountability. But every child that's under the age of accountability is going to be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. Think about that. That means some of you that are grandpas, some of you that are grandmas, some of you that are parents, some of you have brothers and sisters. They're going to be out of here without you. You'll be by yourself. Think about the millions that have been aborted. Every aborted baby is going to meet up with Jesus in the air. Woo! That's a great thing. But listen, some people say, well, I'll take my chances. I'm going to go on that second load. Listen, if you can't make it now, it's going to be a lot harder when you have to give your head for the cause of Christ. Is there anybody else? I want to give this opportunity. I'm going to wait 35 seconds. That's how long that earthquake took. And it changed a lot of people's lives. When he comes, it'll be in the twinkling of an eye. I'm giving you 30 more seconds. We're already down. Come on, is there anybody else that wants to come and say, I'm not sure I'm ready for the coming Lord? We're down to 25 seconds. Is there anybody else? Come on, check yourself. While you're watching on Facebook, if you're not ready, get ready to pray with us. Come on. We're down to 15 seconds. Father God, have mercy in the name of Jesus. Let nobody leave not sure they're ready for the coming Lord. Is there anybody else? 5 seconds and I'm going to go on. Come on. Mercy, Lord Jesus. Mercy. I'm going to ask something tonight. I want somebody of faith to stand behind somebody down here tonight. Everybody, I don't want you to touch anybody, but you can get with, you know, about a little bit behind them right here. Stand behind somebody. Come on, I want you to help me pray with people here in a minute. You're not going to touch anybody, but you're going to get close enough to pray with them, okay? So don't let anybody stand here alone. We got a good number of people here. I got like 4 on this side that need somebody behind them. Come on. I don't want anybody to be left alone. You say, well, I'm not really, on the prayer team. I didn't ask you if you were. I just said if you would help me pray. And you're not even going to touch anybody. So how hard is that? Help me out, all right? But I want us to do something tonight. I want everybody to lift up both hands. I want us to do that together. It's a sign of surrender to the Lord. Come on, this is good tonight. God's doing something good here, right here. But I want you to pray this prayer with me. And I know some of us have prayed prayers over and over, but I believe tonight something's changing because the Word of God has got inside of you and you saw some things. I got to follow peace with all men and holiness. I need to live a clean life. I need to defeat the flesh, and I need to defeat the devil, and I need to defeat sin in my life. I got to be an overcomer. How am I going to do that? By the Word of God and by the blood of the Lamb. He's going to help me. But I'm also going to cooperate with Him. I'm not going to just do my own thing. When I serve the Lord, I'm serving Him. I want you to lift up those hands and pray this with me right now. Say this with me. Dear God in heaven, I know that Jesus is coming very soon. And I want to be ready. I do not want to be left behind. Cleanse me and purify me by the blood you shed on Calvary's cross. I know that you died for me, Jesus. And I repent of my past. I have a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of direction. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead is the same Spirit that's going to lift me up to meet Him one day. I am a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm never going to be the same. Lord, begin something new in me tonight. Let me live my life prepared. Let me live my life ready, with a readiness. And let me share this with everybody I come in contact with. I want you to reach out your hand. I don't want you to touch anybody, but I want you to, if you're standing behind somebody, I want you to begin to pray out loud for them right now. Come on. I'm going to pray for everybody in this altar right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood over this young man, over his mind, over his body, over his spirit. I claim him for God in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your spirit move in these lives. Lord, let this not just be a decision we made in the flesh, but Lord, let it be something that happens in our spirit tonight in the name of Jesus. Devil, you're a liar. You take your hands off. Perfect love casts out all fear in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Lord, I just want to tell you what the Holy Ghost is saying. There's no condemnation tonight to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. On the days ahead, I see you not yielding to temptation, but saying no. And I see that you are going to be a leader. And there's some people that have tried to persuade you, but you're going to be the one that persuades them. You're going to bring them on the road to righteousness, the way that is narrow. And you're going to be used in a mighty way. And it's going to bring a light where there has been darkness before. Come on. Let God begin to use you in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Come on, church, I need you to pray right now. Spirit of the living God, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Of Jesus. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit moving. Come on, come on. Be an example in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak freedom now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come on, hallelujah, come on. He's not only touching you in your spirit, but he's touching your body right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak strength into this body right now. I speak healing and health into this body right now. I speak the blessing of God to flow right now. What's been destroyed, I speak restoration in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's God touching you tonight. That's his mercy in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty in the name of Jesus. Liberty, liberty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the liberty, the freedom now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we know that old things are under the blood of Jesus. The power of God is moving right now in the name of the Lord. Come on, he's touching you tonight. Come on, he wants to go deeper in you. Of Jesus. Come on. I believe something strong is happening right here in the name of Jesus. I declare you're never going to be the same. I declare that you walked in one way, but I declare you walk out a different way. And I declare that as you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Come on, that's God moving right there. Hallelujah. Come on. He's doing something. Hallelujah. Strong, 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 strong. In the name. Hallelujah. That's the blessing of God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just ask him for more. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on. Everybody lift up your hand. Come on, believe what you sing right now. Come on, keep praising, keep worshiping in me for a moment. Stir up the gift of God within you. Some of you need to pray a little bit more. Some of you need to press in a little stronger. Come on, God's got more for you. You decide tonight how much you want. You decide how much of His power you want, how much glory. We need the glory to come that we might be the glorious church. As His glory comes in, I'm going to tell you, grief goes in the name of Jesus. When you are full of glory, there's a heaviness that's on you, but it's not the heaviness of the world like grief, but it's the glory of God. Come on, let it weigh heavy on you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm washed. Hallelujah. Now listen to me just one second right here. We're going to sing it again, but if you're standing by your husband or wife or your child, just touch them, okay? I know but if you're by somebody that they're not comfortable with that, don't do it, all right? But if you're by somebody that you've been sitting 6 inches away from, you could probably touch them, all right? But I want you to pray for that person near you right now. Come on, I want you to pray because I believe there's something that happens when we pray together. Come on, I want you to pray together right now. I want you just to pray. You say, I don't really know how to pray. Why don't you just say the name of Jesus? Why don't you just say blessing upon that person next to you? If you don't want to touch them, just reach over toward them a little bit like this and just pray with somebody. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, just say a blessing over somebody near you right now. Come on, just lift your voice to the Lord. Come on, sing it again. I'm washed.
I am washed by the blood.
tonight, would you? Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Thank Him for what He's done. Father, thank You that You restore us. You refresh us. You replenish us, God. We thank You for the flames of revival, God. Let them burn in our hearts and our minds, Lord, in our spirit, in Jesus' strong name. We bless our online folks, Lord, who've gathered night after night, Lord. Bless them in their homes. Bless them where they travel. Bless them wherever they are, in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. Visit the table before you leave, would you? Take some home with you. God bless you. Thank you for your generosity this week. Thank you for your faithfulness this week. God bless you as you go tonight. In Jesus' name.